Good morning and welcome everybody to our Tuesday morning radio show. I'm your host, Kathy Houston, filling in for Melinda Lygos, who must be knee-deep in Education Day at the ASI show in New York. As a matter of fact, Andy, Michelle, and Joe are there too, so we have a room full of strangers today. Let's introduce them. First off, we have Jim Lang, our editorial creative director. Jim, you recently celebrated 35 years at ASI. How does that feel?
Old.
Oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
But I have another very important question. Did you watch Dancing with the Stars last night?
Yes, I did.
Team Gaga or Team Madonna?
I didn't see Team Madonna, but Team Gaga did pretty well.
I vote for Team Gaga, too. Well, next, we have our very own fashion guru, CJ Medica, editor of Wearables Magazine. Welcome to the show, CJ. What do you think of my outfit today?
It actually is quite fashionable. And actually, I did not watch Dancing with the Stars last night. I'm sorry to say.
That was my next question.
Yeah, sorry.
But thank you. And welcome aboard.
Thanks.
And then we have Jen Vishnevsky, our newest staff writer, who's been under the weather the past few days, but she managed to pull it together for today. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome. And if anybody has any tips for getting over a cold, I'll take them.
Email them to radio at asicentral.com for Jen. And as always, we have Steve the Hawkinator Hawk working.
Not currently on sound effects, but I'm on mic.
He's gonna make them with his own voice. Yes. And Vinny Driscoll, as always, answering your phone calls. How you doing, Vin?
Good.
So let's start with our lineup. Michelle and Joe will first be calling in live from New York like Saturday night to tell us about all the exciting goings-on at the ASI show. We will then take your calls about prospecting and uncovering new business, so be sure to call us at 215-953-4979. CJ will fill us in on hot T-shirt trends for the summer, and Jen will tell you what you absolutely should not say on the job. Then Jim will share 5 fun ways to pump up your resume. There will be much more, of course, but first we're going to go to Andy Cohen, who's also live from New York with today's news. Andy on line 6.
Well, not anymore.
Is Andy there?
Guess not.
Okay, then first how about we go to Joe Haley on line 2.
Let's try that.
Joe, are you there?
Hi, Kathy. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. How are you doing over there in New York?
I'm sweating. If you've never been to the Javits Center, it's all glass in the front, and the sun beats right down in, so I feel like an ant with a bully with a magnifying glass trying to burn me. So it's very hot right now.
Well, that sounds delightful, Joe. So what's going on there in New York? Are you going to any Education Day sessions today?
Well, Education just started, and there's a huge crowd downstairs, and I'm getting set to go talk to Dale Denham to see how his opening session went, and he had a packed house, so I'm sure that went rather well.
What was that about? Joe?
Yes.
What was Dale's session about?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot. Something really good. web marketing. I'm sorry, web marketing.
Web marketing. All right, that's important. How about the awards, the Counselor Awards? Is that tonight?
No, that's tomorrow night. Counselor Awards tomorrow night. But last night we were out on the town, and as we were coming back through Times Square, we were thankful that they caught the bomber. We ran into the Naked Cowboy. You know who the Naked Cowboy is?
Yes, indeed.
Of course we do.
I have no idea the Naked Cowboy is. I said, there's a Naked Cowboy, a guy wearing a long mink coat, tighty whities, cowboy boots, cowboy hat, and carrying guitar. So I said, you're the Naked Cowboy. How about a picture? So I got a picture with him.
Oh, that's awesome, Joe.
From the waist up, Joe?
What was that?
From the waist up, Joe?
Yes.
Were you naked?
Full body shot.
Joe was wearing the same outfit.
Were you naked as well, Joe?
I was not. But I do have a question.
Yeah.
Who's sitting in my seat?
Jen Vishnevsky.
All right.
Is that okay, Joe? That,
as long as it's not CJ.
don't worry, Joe. I can't fill your shoes.
CJ's in my seat, Joe. So, Joe, I have another question for you. Are you going to be going to the showing of West Side Story?
We're going to West Side Story. We're not going to West Side Story. We're too busy covering all the events and happenings here at the show. We don't have time to go and play around, but I would love to see it.
Can you sing us a little something from West Side Story?
Well, I was singing last night. I was walking down the street. You know, when you're a jet, it was me and Andy. When you're a jet, you're a jet. And then we mumbled the rest because we forget the words. But we did dance and kick. There were some trash cans and stuff.
Well, that's great, Joe. I'm happy for you. You have a great time in New York, and we're going to let you go now because we have Andy back on the line.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Goodbye, guys. Have fun.
Bye. You have fun, too. Okay, now we have Andy Cohen with the news live from New York. Andy.
All right, thanks, Kathy. We begin this morning with news out of California. Santa Clara County has made noise over the past week as it has voted to ban promotional toys from kids' meals that exceed a certain calorie count. Now local chain restaurants are not allowed to give out promotional items along with kids' meals that have more than 485 calories. As we reported in Promogram last week, PDA has agreed to acquire Ozegna to create the second largest distributor organization in the industry. The two companies expect the deal to close later this month. In personnel news, Big Graphic and Norwood have named Dave Saraceno as Vice President of Field Sales and Joe DeVault as Vice President of National Accounts and Calendars. Joe Sternkorb will now be Inside Sales Director of the combined organization. Also, Top 40 Distributor Workflow One has promoted Dean Truitt to CEO. He was formerly President and COO of the company. And finally, Admint and Zagabor announced just last night that it has acquired Yummy Photo. More details to come in Promogram today. Kathy, back to you.
Thank you, Andy. You have fun in New York.
All right, thank you. You guys have fun back there in the office.
All right, we
Thanks,
will.
Thanks, Andy.
We will.
Okay, next we have Michelle Bell on line 5, also from New York. Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kath. I can't stay on too long because I'm getting ready to moderate a session at 11 on super successful self-promotion campaigns.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Who's going to be on the panel?
Greg Mazzullo from Proforma, ASI's very own Don Menning, and my girlfriend Jill Albers from Workflow One. All of whom are kind of experts in different areas of self-promotion, whether it be direct mail and lumpy mail campaigns or new media.
That sounds great.
Yes, that's awesome.
Good luck with
and
that.
Last night was great. I had an awesome, fun dinner with lots of industry celebs and cocktailed our way through dinner. It was awesome.
I read that on your tweet this morning.
I have to say, Michelle, you sound very chipper for this time of the morning. Yeah. It's not your usual demeanor.
Yeah. Well, Chez, you know that. I have decided, people have told me, Kathy, that I am a tweeting menace. I need to cut back on the tweets.
A tweeting menace? I don't think so. I like your tweets. Are you going to be going to the Women's Summit at the show?
You know, I am. Right as soon as my session ends at noon, Joe Haley is going to whisk me away in a cab, and we're heading right over to the Women's Summit, which should be great. There should be like 65 women or so, distributors and suppliers in the industry. We're going to start off the event. You got to love this, with cocktails. Who doesn't love an event that starts with cocktails at noon?
Well, I would have come if I knew that. All right, well, Michelle, we'll let you go, and lots of luck with your panel.
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
Okay, right now we're going to be taking your calls on prospecting pointers and uncovering new business. So give us a call at 215-953-4979. Let's see. Who do we have on the phone? We have Paul on line 1.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Good.
What's your question for our glorious panel here?
Okay, my question is, I'm tired of cold calling on people or a waste of time. When I find someone who I think is a good prospect, how do I know for sure?
Well, Pierre, Paul, I'm sorry. We have lots of great ideas on this in Advantages Magazine. And I'd say first ask them questions about people. Who's involved in the decision-making process and what are their roles?
Okay.
For instance, there's often multiple decision-makers involved in a sizable sale in marketing, procurement, HR, and so on, each fulfilling a different role that requires different information. And then you should ask them about the process. How does the organization make such decisions? What are the steps and processes? And I'd map it out and get their agreement.
Okay.
Then there's the question of timing, which will also show you their urgency, their sense of urgency. Why are they looking now? When will they be evaluating or buying? And how long will it take them once they start? And then, of course, you've got to talk money. Do they actually have the budget for it? And is it approved? And is it adequate? Or will they have to get money from new allocations? But there are a lot of things to consider.
Okay.
I would add as well that, I mean, cold calling is a volume thing anyway. So sometimes you might feel rejection. You might feel it's a waste of time. But you have to kind of get those numbers in volume to be successful and find successful clients that way.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely. Good point, CJ. Well, hopefully we answered your questions, Paul, to some degree.
Yes, you did to some degree.
Well, good. Good luck with your business.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Next, line 3, we have Penny. Penny?
Good morning. Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's your question?
My question is, I'm wondering if it's better if I prospect in one particular industry and become an expert in that niche instead of going all over the place.
I mean, I can talk about that. Just there's a lot of distributors who do specialized niche, and it is a very successful tactic. However, you know, with the way the economy has been, it'll also take a big beating that way, as opposed to other distributors who are kind of diversified and spread out, and they're able to weather the storm a little bit better. So, I mean, that might be the best course, especially when the economy is not so good. But on the same token, you know, hear a lot of stories about distributors who are going back and forth. Some are cutting back and trying to specialize in something they do well, and others are being aggressive and kind of expanding their operations. So you can kind of see it both ways.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully we answered your question, Penny. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next, line four, we have Louie. Hi, Louie.
Hello, ASI Radio. How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Like many sales reps, I hate cold calling because I hate rejection. How can I warm things up?
Well, we actually, Kathy and I were just talking to one of our advisory board members, and Cindy Jorgensen, and she had some thoughts about this actual issue, and you'll see it in the June issue of Advantages. But basically, she thought that you've got nothing to lose, and if they don't give you a sale, you never really had it in the beginning. So I would just say, don't take it personally. You're doing your job. And if they don't really want your help, then just move on to the next person who does and keep hitting at it.
Great. Good advice, Jen.
Thanks, Kathy.
Also, on that note, I mean, all the experts tell you it takes so many rejections before you get a yes. So just look at a rejection as another step closer to getting a yes. Okay, let's see. Who do we have on the line? Stanley, on line two. Hi,
hey,
Stanley.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you? What's up with Stanley?
Very good. I've got two challenges.
Uh-huh.
One, I don't know what to do about because this week we ran out of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies, and that's a real challenge.
That is a challenge, yeah.
Yes. But the other one is the challenge of going green. You know, we want to go to people's offices and be green by saying, just go to our website and here's our catalogs online, versus giving a paper catalog. And I'm just trying to get your guys' take on is it necessary to still do paper catalogs? Where is the balance, and how effective is going green versus still using paper catalogs? What do you think?
Well, I'd say a combination of both is good. Some clients like to have the catalog right in their hands. Others are perfectly fine going online. A lot of suppliers are going online as well. But another consideration is that catalogs are also recyclable. So you could always put them in the recycle bin after they're done holding them and seeing the products right in front of them.
I know, other factors besides going green, I know people have had kind of dissatisfaction with catalogs because of just the way that prices have been changing so quickly, and that it's kind of hard to reflect either price specials or discounts you might want to give when there's something that you just print once a year. But I kind of agree with Kathy. You know, a lot of people do like having that kind of catalog in their hand. They can show other people. It's easier for them to carry around or keep it in their office. So, you know, maybe you just want to consider maybe not just printing your full load of catalogs, just printing a smaller batch and then offering other things such as, you know, your website, or, you know, give out a flash drive and preload your catalog on there.
Great advice, CJ.
Oh, I like that. Okay, great. Thank you. I'd like the USB idea of the catalog.
Yeah, that's great advice. Go Thanks on. A lot for calling in again, Stanley.
Thank
Stay
you.
On the line for your $25 gift card. Forgot about that. Okay, we also have a question from our Facebook fans on prospecting, and it's from Leah at Custom Impressions, Inc. in Connecticut, and she says, I found it hard to explain that I offer over 500,000 products. People can't grasp that if they need anything with their logo on it to check with me first. She's looking to get more from her existing customer base instead of always reaching out for new leads, and she would like to know what approaches people offer to explain the breadth of their services to clients. Leah, we held an elevator pitch contest back in 2009 for Advantages Magazine, and the winning pitch pretty much sums up what you guys do. And it was from Greg Johnston at Pacific Age, and he says to people that he meets, I sell promotional items like logoed shirts, hats, and coffee mugs. I do work for companies like McDonald's and Molson Brewery. We are currently doing this new lighted tap handle for Molson. I have some cool new ideas and can usually save you some money. Do you have a card, or is there someone in your company I can follow up with? Also, we got some advice from the experts on steps to create a great elevator pitch. The first is take your prospect's point of view. Instead of reciting a list of your products and services, address an issue the prospect has that you can help them with. Adapt your pitch to the listener. A small business person, for example, may be concerned about cost, while a larger corporation may be more impressed by an example of your creativity. And finally, show your enthusiasm about what you do. Passion is everything. Make eye contact, smile, and speak with confidence and passion. So I think that covers our question and answer segment for now. When we come back, CJ will have some T-shirt trends and upcoming wearables article insight. But first, we have a commercial from our sponsor.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or go to iPromoteU.com.
Okay, thanks a lot. CJ, you have an upcoming wearables article
That's
on
right.
T-shirt trends. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the fun or hot things that we're going to be seeing this summer on T-shirts?
So I have four trends, and you know, Jim can probably say how many times these trends have come around and, you know, fallen and become popular again. The first one is baggy, but not too baggy. So basically, you know, form-fitting fashion tees are still very popular in the industry in general, but the manufacturers are starting to kind of loosen them up a little bit. So, for example, American Apparel has a Viscose Rayon t-shirt, and also the boyfriend t-shirt is making a comeback, and that's very popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
Next is the crop t-shirt. So, you know, it's a, you know, midriff bearing. If you want to think of Saved by the Bell and Kelly Kapowski. So that's, you know, something that's was very popular in the 80s and in the early 90s, and something American Apparel has championed as well. They have like a dancewear inspired line. You can, you know, you know, obviously don't think, you know, you can show your midriff at work, but if you layer it over a tank top, or you can kind of use something that's more of a fashion forward promotion. Two other trends. One is text-based designs. So currently all of our prints are big, but, you know, they've been very complicated, so they're kind of simplifying and just using the text as the decoration itself and kind of dialing back the intricate decorations. Mm-hmm. And also V-necks and tank tops. V-necks have been popular for a couple of years, and also tank tops are making a comeback as well. So you can see those as an alternative to just a regular shirt.
That's great, CJ. And you mentioned the midriff and wearing tank underneath them. I think one of the trends with tank tops, too, is the longer ones. Mm-hmm. So they go under those kind of shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I like my T-shirts baggy, by the way. So I'm right on trend.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
So
and when are we going to look forward to this article in wearables?
This will be in the June issue of wearables.
Okay. Thanks a lot, CJ.
Sure.
All right, Jen.
So, I have the worst words to say at work, and these are not expletives.
Curse words?
No.
No.
You're one step ahead of me. So, I thought that no would be the most obvious one, but it did not even make the list. And this
wow.
comes from Forbes. It's the 9 words and phrases that make you sound noncommittal and untrustworthy, which probably you don't want to sound at work. But I will give a couple, and then we'll put the rest on the website. And the first one is try. And the reason for try is because it's a cop-out, and you're just kind of giving some lip service, and you don't really have any real intention of doing what you're being asked. So don't say try, just say you're going to do it. One other one which I have fallen into the trap is whatever. And that's the typical dismissive word, and it gets rid of somebody quickly, and it's kind of ends up sounding like an insult and a slap in the face. So you don't want to say whatever, and that just puts up a wall between you and the person you're communicating with. One more that I thought was really interesting is saying yes and then following it up with but. So that turns out to be another excuse, and it makes your team members sound that you're halfway doing something. You're going to say yes, but you have some sort of excuse to follow it up. So you just want to say yes and follow through with what you're doing. So those are some words to avoid and try to find some commitment in your work instead of escaping it.
Yeah, keep your butts to yourself.
No, keep right? your nose to yourself, too.
That's right. Well, thanks, Jen. And these the rest of the tips will be on our website. Okay, Jim, we have 5 fun ways to beef up your resume. Let's hear about the fun.
Oh, I have those for you. In any job search, keeping a positive attitude is important.
Obviously.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. So in addition to refining your resume and assiduously applying for jobs, consider these pursuits that can not only be lots of fun, but also make just about any candidate more attractive to hiring managers. Most can be done for free or on the cheap.
That's always good.
That's always good. The first, learn a language.
Mm.
English would help, by the way. Even knowing only the basics.
Pig Latin.
Even knowing only the basics of a second language can be a boon in many jobs. For instance, greeting foreign clients in their own tongue makes a first great impression, and most language classes involve fun socializing activities and learning about foreign cultures. Fluency takes time, but just telling an employer that you're studying a language can demonstrate self-discipline and a desire to learn new things, according to career expert Jason Seiden, the author of Super Staying Power, What You Need to Become Valuable and Resilient at Work. Mm-hmm. The second is to enroll in an acting or improvisation workshop.
That sounds like fun.
That would be fun. I definitely advocate taking an improv class, says Seiden. I've done this myself, and I've learned to work across an incredibly diverse group of people. I learned to become more adaptive to my environment, and I got some great stories to use to break the ice with new people. These types of workshops can also be very beneficial for people who fear public speaking. Joining a Toastmasters club is another way to become a more effective speaker. Read more in Mastering the Art of Public Speaking. Mm-hmm. Third one, learn something new. Take classes at your local college online or through job training programs, suggests Deborah Davenport, business coach and founder of Identity IQ. Employers want knowledge workers with top skills in the areas of technology, social media, communications, leadership, coaching, budgeting, marketing, and global commerce. In addition, fun classes like photography may come in handy in surprising ways. After you get your financial services job, say, the company may urgently need someone to take photos at an investor event, and you'll be able to save the day. Fourth, volunteer. Jay Block, the author of 101 Best Ways to Land a Job in Troubled Times, recommends volunteering as a way to gain confidence and strengthen your resume. You could volunteer to teach what you know, for instance, if you're good at sales. An organization like a Junior Achievement might be a good fit. You could turn a hobby into a volunteer opportunity. For instance, if you enjoy playing the piano, you could schedule song nights at a local retirement center. Or you could even travel to an area that could use your help or skills, for instance, to work with Habitat for Humanity. The fifth and last, write. That's W-R-I-T. Many career experts suggest developing a blog that focuses on a hobby or your industry. Or, suggests Block, you could offer to write a column for a free local newspaper. These are not only enjoyable ways to express yourself, but also a great way to promote yourself as an expert and establish a well-rounded online presence.
Yeah, great tips. And as far as the volunteerism one, I think all employers are really impressed with that. And that's also something you do that makes you feel good about yourself.
Absolutely.
And especially these days when there's lots of people unemployed, if you have volunteerism on your resume, they say you're just not sitting around eating bonbons waiting for the employer to call. Yeah. You're out there doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like how you have the guy who's been here 35 years in the industry. He's giving tips on how to beef up your resume, because his isn't lengthy enough.
Here
you
I am.
You never know.
Well, my resume was really beefy when I got this job.
That's right. Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
You're
and now welcome. I have some good news for all you business travelers out there. Who couldn't use some good news about business travel? Right, Van? Am I right?
Right.
Okay, the Department of Transportation enacted new, more aggressive passenger protection rules last Thursday for airlines. The DOT's tarmac delay rule subjects airlines to stiff fines if passengers are stuck on the tarmac for more than 3 hours. And that's ridiculous. It was prompted by a string of long delays dating back to December 2006. And it caused passengers undue discomfort and inconvenience. So the new rules, here are some details travelers should know. Expect a response to complaints to airlines. The DOT is now requiring airlines to acknowledge customer complaints within 30 days and provide a response within 60 days. Sorry, international travelers, but you may have to wait longer because the 3-hour tarmac time limit applies only to domestic flights. But safety, security, air traffic exceptions may apply. Exceptions to the tarmac delay limits may apply if the pilot sees a safety or security issue with returning passengers to the terminal. For further information on this, go to airconsumer.dot.gov, or you can call them by phone for the rules at 202-366-2220.
Has anybody been stuck on a plane longer than a couple hours? I think that's my longest.
I think mine
was a couple hours.
I'm really lucky when I travel.
I'm fairly lucky too. I just traveled and we were on time 20 minutes ahead of time and landing.
Well, Melinda and I had a real flight from hell where we got diverted to Albuquerque from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And we were waiting on the plane for like 2 hours. Then they said, well, we have to fly in some engineers from somewhere else. Then we had to wait in the Albuquerque airport and everything was closed, so we couldn't get food or anything. And then when we got back on the plane, they couldn't clean the bathrooms. So me and Melinda's seats were right by the bathrooms, and it was really bad. And you know what she said to me? Wouldn't it suck if we crashed after all this?
It really would.
Yes. It would've. It was a great flight. Great, great, great. All right. Now, CJ, you have some gender differences as far as perceptions go on the job. Tell us about those.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea is out there of the glass ceiling for, you know, female bosses and female executives, but it's also I guess, you know, the way that male and female bosses act, there's kind of a double standard involved. So I'll read some of these off. You know, these are some of the, I guess, the double standards that exist out there. A male boss is aggressive. A female boss is pushy. A male boss is attentive to details. A female boss is picky. He knows how to follow through. She doesn't know when to quit. He loses his temper occasionally. She can control her emotions. He isn't afraid to say what he thinks. She's mouthy. He's a man of action. She's impulsive. He controls his emotions. She's cold.
So how do I, as a mouthy woman, get over these misperceptions?
Well, it talks about like the way that when men get angry, that, you know, they show their emotions, like throw a tantrum, or uh-huh. they'll throw things, and that's not good. But actually, they say it's actually regarded in the workplace better than a woman, for example, who starts crying. Supposedly, like, crying is like the worst emotion.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
You could show it like in a workplace. That's but true. Even with all that said, I think men and women actually prefer male bosses more, they say, than female bosses.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't either. I wonder if it's because we're women.
Good.
Yes, and that's a good answer, Jed. Since
you're
I'm
welcome.
Your boss.
Yeah, I know. I didn't plan that or anything.
But, I mean, honestly, I think to overcome those things, you really just have to. You probably have to trust yourself just to feel like you know you're doing the right things, and you know, if workers kind of have that perception, it's really. It's more a reflection of them than you probably need to change what you do to accommodate them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, CJ. Very interesting. Okay, Jen, here's another really interesting thing. There's a new logoed pin on the horizon.
So
tell us about it.
Here, the Boy Scouts of America, once in a while, a long time ago, they were all about nature and, you know, bonfires and getting pins for that. Well, now, here's a sign of how times have changed. Boy Scouts can get a new logoed pin by the amount of hours they spend playing video games.
What?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So these now, the way they're spinning it is to say that the video games, the Scouts are going to understand what's appropriate for their age group, and it's not just rewarding them for sitting around on their butts, but they can work towards their pin by playing video games that help you in your schoolwork.
See, I would have joined at that point. To play video games, I'd be a. Yeah, I'd get all the patches.
You'd be an Eagle Scout by now.
Yeah, for sure.
You couldn't make a fire then, but you could play video games. So times have changed, and the Boy Scouts are right on that bandwagon.
Isn't the whole point like they're supposed to be outside, doing something, like learning like outdoor skills instead of like sitting indoors?
I think it's a cop out. They're just
you
trying
can play
to
video games
you can do it on
outside.
Your mobile app. You can do that now too.
Unless they're going to do Nintendo Wii games for outdoors.
Nintendo Wii Fitness.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting. Okay, speaking of interesting, I'm sure all our listeners would be interested in how to boost their creativity. So, Jim, why don't you give us, like, about three tips since we're running out of some time here.
Three tips, all right.
Three tips from the creative genius.
Oh, I'll take that. All right. Become an expert is one tip. One of the best ways to develop creativity is to become an expert in that area. By having a rich understanding of the topic, you will be better able to think of novel or innovative solutions to problems.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Another one would be to overcome negative attitudes that block creativity. According to a 2006 study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, positive moods can increase your ability to think creatively. According to Dr. Adam Anderson, senior author of the study, if you are doing something that requires you to be creative or be in a think tank, you want to be in a place with a good mood. Focus on eliminating negative thoughts or self-criticisms that may impair your ability to develop strong creative skills. And here's one. Brainstorm to inspire new ideas. Brainstorming is a common technique in both academic and professional settings, but it can also be a powerful tool for developing your creativity. Start by suspending your judgment and self-criticism, then start writing down related ideas and possible solutions. The goal is to generate as many ideas as possible in a relatively short span of time. Next, focus on clarifying and refining your ideas in order to arrive at the best possible choice.
Great tips. Any more? From our creative guy, Jim Wang.
Yes, I try.
Great. Well, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate you hosting with me today.
This was fun.
I love sitting in those chairs. Thank you to all our listeners, too. Have a great day, and we'll see you next Tuesday.